Blog Talk Radio.
We'll glorify.
come on.
Together,
let's walk together, hand in hand.
Glorify
Yah. He's gonna spread your love all over the land.
Glorify
Yah. Right now.
In truth and in
truth and unity.
One love, one destiny.
One Yah.
One great
one
harmony.
One family.
Together forever.
Shabbat Shalom, Israel, family, listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I would suggest that you get your Bibles, concordance, your notepads, iPads, all those things that you would need for a good study. One thing I'm going to ask you this particular session is write your questions down. Because we're going to do something slightly different. I don't normally open the mic up for everybody to pose questions, but I'm going to brave up today. I got my brothers. I got my sisters. You know, we all here on the line. We all traveling with Yahweh, believing in Son Yahushua. And one of the things that the Father put on me this particular session is that those who are listening from other places outside of Baltimore, the line get quiet, pose your question so that we can see what you're going through where you are. Well, I know that there's times where I feel as though I'm alone and the only people that I have to relate to is the people in the flock that I'm in. It's a possibility that you feel the same. But the Father wants us to know that we're unified wherever we are, as long as we stand firm in Yahushua and stand firm in His Word. Just want to, you know, put it out there for everyone that's listening, has been listening on a consistent basis. You know, just, you know, shout us out. Let us know that, you know, what you're feeling, what your, you know, questions that you may have, you know, so that we can sit down and dialogue on this line and see what thus saith Yahweh. As always, I'm going to start off with an opening prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, as we come before thee on thy Sabbath day, we ask of thee to open our mouths so that we can speak to one another, so that we can understand the trials and tribulations that we're going through, so that we can help one another, even though we may not be in the same location, but we can help one another by dialoguing. I pray in El Shor's holy and precious name. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments. Wait a minute, the pleasure in us with love and favor gave us this holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you. Started off, you know, one thing I must say is that this particular week, as we say, this is the Feast of Booth edition. I think this may be my third year actually having to do Can It Be That Simple during this particular feast day or holiday or gathering. And the last couple of times I did the same thing. I did a question and answer or open discussion. And so the same thing was going to happen this year. Open discussion. I'm not, you know, me as an individual. I'm more of a practical person. You know, I'm always scratching the surface. You know, I don't really get that deep. You know, but, you know, we got a number of people that's probably on the line that can get deep. But, you know, just want to, you know, give everybody an opportunity that's, you know, just not here in Baltimore to let us know what's going on in your neck of the woods. you know, as we, you know, like I said, we out here in the wilderness, you know, it's a nice clear sky tonight. You know, yesterday was very rainy and, you know, it was beautiful hearing the raindrops hitting the top of the tent and having the opportunity and walking along the raindrops and things of that nature in nature and whatnot, gathering with the family. But just want everybody to know that, you know, the Father is with us. He's sharing his love with us, and he's giving us an opportunity to share love with one another by conversing with one another. Throughout the course of this week, it's been very rough. You know, not really rough. It's, you know, lessons and blessings throughout the course of the week. But one of the things that we recently was taught, and it's been on my mind, you know, during my reflecting on me as an individual, I started looking at, you know, when you go in Genesis and it talks about the, you know, when Eve was beguiled by the serpent, and how he told her that the, you know, the fruit will be good for food, and what else? Make one wise, and what's another one? I'm forgetting. I'm drawing a blank. But lately, you know, our teacher, he summed it up in different terms that I can really relate to. And one of the terms was hedonism, and that's dealing with the pleasures of humanity. Then he said materialism, you know, and that's dealing with wealth. And then ultimately, the last one he said was intellectualism. So we as individuals, sometimes, you know, me personally, I can relate to those. So as I'm reflecting on my day-to-day, I'm looking at these terms and relating them to my thinking, because ultimately we're supposed to get away from those particular thinking and be more like the Most High, be more like the Oshua. Because when we're thinking in those particular ways, we're really selfish, because we're always thinking about ourselves and how we can gain, how we can get ahead. But when we look at our walk and striving to meet with the Father, we have to become more selfless and be more concerned about the next person. Not saying that we're not supposed to be concerned about ourselves, because we have to stand firm in his law, statutes, and judgment. So we can't be concerned about other people and not keep his law, statutes, and judgments. We have to do everything in decency and in order. So, like I said, throughout the course of, you know, out here, you know, keeping this feast, you know, we at one minute with the Most High, at one minute with Yahushua, and, you know, trying to keep my thoughts proper. And, you know, like always, you know, not like always, but this particular week, you know, I was like wondering, what am I going to teach? What am I going to teach? And most of the time, the Father gave me my lessons spontaneous. But so throughout the course of this week, it wasn't nothing spontaneous, jumped out, nothing. But ultimately, you know, he said, hey, have a discussion, you know, go, get out your comfort zone. So I'm going to be facilitating these questions, but, you know, I got my brothers and I got my sisters, and the line is open. The line is open to everyone. So, like I said, if you get a little dull moment in the midst of the conversation, unmute your phone, hold your question. If you're not from Baltimore, so, you know, tell us where you're from. You know, you can identify yourself, or you can just identify, because I know that it's many people from different places outside of Baltimore that listen to Blog Talk, Ko Elohim. Just want you to, you know, let us know, you know, what's on your mind. What's going on in your neck of the woods? You know, so I'm going to point to one of my brothers right here and see if they got anything on their mind. Hey, that's a new brother so, you know, hey, we got, you know, another new brother that's sitting amongst us. He's from a different neck of the woods. So how you doing? and pass the phone to you. You know, you can pull, you know, say where you're from, and if you got a question, just pull it out there. That way we can discuss it.
I want to say shalom to all my brothers and sisters that are here. And it is my joy and privilege to be in your midst. I'm so happy to be in the assembly of people that call the name of Yahweh, although I'm hearing Yahweh, but and there's something that is good when you are in the assembly of people that have the same belief you are. And the most important thing is for us to live together in a community that Elohim of Israel or Yezreel will be in our midst. And we are celebrating the Feast of Abba, the Sukkot, the Tabernacle. He said in Yohanan 1, verse 10, that the flesh, you know, the Word became the flesh. And he pitched his tent with us. The tent is the tabernacle. Our beloved Abba had always been loved to be with us, right from when we left Egypt. We are the real Israelites. We are scattered all over the world, but we are the real Israelites. And Abba had already always, you know, wanting to live in our midst. And we are so happy that he gave us his feast. He said, these are my feast, my appointed time. And those appointed times pointing us to the coming of our Messiah, Yahusha HaMashiach. We must celebrate. You remember in Exodus, Moshe said, if your presence will not go with me, I will not go. We are not going to go. And Abba assured Musa, and he said to Musa, my presence will go with you, and I will be with you. It is the presence of Elohim of Israel that makes the Negroes, the black people in this country, to survive. It is his presence. The plan of enemy is to wipe us out completely. But his presence makes us to be alive today. And I'm glad that we are celebrating his feast. We are not gathering here to celebrate Halloween. We are not gathering here to celebrate Christmas. We are not gathering here to celebrate Esther, the prostitute, the court prostitute that the Europeans brought in and that the whole world worship. But we are celebrating the Feast of Abba, the Feast of Yahuwah, Elohim of Israel. I'm so excited to be in your midst. And I'm so happy to be in your midst. I pray tonight that Abba will give us an opportunity for us to know and for us to continue to have more knowledge in him. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk. I really appreciate you, sir. Thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, I just want to pick up on a point that the brother poured out, and the point that he was bringing out was in regards to, I'm going to say, the black man in America. And a lot of times, we as Israelites, we try to say every black man in America is Israel. But no, not every black man. Just those he have chosen. And then ones he have chosen them so that they can bring the other black men in America to the understanding of who Israel is. Just like the brother brought out, you know, when we deal with Israel here in America, they tend to look at the European, call themselves Jews. But when we look at the scriptures, he identifies his people as Israel, he who overcomes with Yah's help. And that's what we are supposed to do. We're supposed to be that beacon of hope for humanity in general. Because as we know, what advantage do we have? He gave us his oracles. And we're here. We're here in America. For many years, I've always said if the black man in America understood who his mighty one was and followed his laws, statutes, and judgment, no one could stop us. Why? Because when we read the testimony of Yahweh Elohim, and when we read the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach, that's what he is telling us. Because when we read those scriptures, it's telling us the power that our mighty one has. The Almighty One cares for us because we're his children. And, you know, you have some people say, I'll fight a kid. You know, you have parents that say that. And that's what Yahweh, that's what our father said. He said he will fight a kid. He will fight all those who come up against his children. And sometimes we have to realize that he is going to do that. When we read the testimony of when he went down into Egypt, he tells them, I'm going to go before you. You know, he told Joseph, I'm going to go before you. He also told Moses, I'm going to go before you. So when we up against situations, he's going before. He's laying the path so that when we go through these situations, that we come out unscathed. But we have to have that faith in Yahushua. We have to have that faith in his word that we will be unscathed. When we go to the left and when we go to the right, what are we doing? We're doubting. And see, and that's one of the things that we have to stop doing. We have to stop doubting in the word of the Most High. We have to stop doubting in Yahushua HaMashiach and what he has done. See, because if we look at the narrative, the disciples, they denied him, but they had lack of faith. Because we read in the testimony that he told them many times, ye of little faith, ye of little faith, ye of little faith. So we have to build our faith up. Build our faith up in his word, build our faith up in him. And this is one of those convocations that we come to called the Feast of Ingathering. See, he's gathering up his people. He's gathering them up. Why? Because we've learned. Because he's going to take us to meet our Father. And see, and when we come to understand that that's what this feast actually points to, gathering us up to go see the Father, that should put another spin or another understanding of why this feast is so important. Because it gets us prepared to go meet the Father. First of all, we have the ushering in of the King. That's ushering in of Yahushua. Then we get in at one minute with him 10 days later. Then 15 days later, what are we doing? We're dwelling in that tent with him for 7 days, dwelling with him. And then on that eighth day, that great eighth day, that when we read the scriptures, doesn't say too much about it. But we've been revealed what that revelation is. And that revelation is we're going to meet the Father. See, because after those 7 days of dwelling with Yahushua, millennium, he's going to turn and introduce us to his Father, to our Father. But do we believe that? That is the hope. As we learn in the scriptures that, you know, it says, believe in Yahweh, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. What are we prospering in? The truth of his word. We're being fed of his word. See, as you travel and continue in his word, it's about continuing and getting more understanding and growing up in his word. And the more you grow up in his word, the more it becomes a part of you, the more you accept it. Why? Because you go through different trials and errors in learning his word and keeping his word and standing for his word. And the more you stand up for his word, the stronger you get in his word, the more you desire to see the Father. Family and friends, this thing that we have been chosen to walk in is a great thing. It's a great thing. And just want to, you know, encourage those who are on the line to just stand firm. Stand firm. Uplift his name, uplift his word. And at the same time, if you have something to say, deal with this season or deal with a testimony of how the Messiah and that word has brought you closer and closer to him. Just, you know, just shout it out. Just let us know. Just let us know. Because, like I said, this is a discussion, but at the same time, it's a celebration because we know he has opened our eyes to understand, opened our eyes to know who his son is, what his word is about. And his son has introduced us or told us about his father. So we know who his, we know who our father is. As the scripture talks about how many people or different nations don't know who they serve. See, he has opened our eyes to understand who we serve. And one of the things that we've recently learned, you know, when you, you know, most of the times when people think of the, you know, they, at one time you referred, he was referring to him as the devil. Then we referred to him as Satan. Then we referred to him as the accuser. The Father's sending us different messages to give us a better understanding of who Satan is. What he is, he's an opponent. He's an opponent to the Father. He's an opponent to the Word. He's an opponent to Yahushua. And he's also an opponent to those in whom Yahushua has chosen to stand up for his word. So once we understand the opponent and what he's trying to do, he is trying to disrupt our path. He's trying to keep us away from glorious day of meeting our Father. He's trying to keep us out of the loop. But ultimately, he's trying to keep us out of the book of life. And that's one of the things that Yahweh has told us about, eating of that tree of life. And he encouraged us to eat of that tree of life by saying, choose life. And we read in the scriptures, how does a man cleanse his ways? By standing in the word of Yah. One of the things that Yahweh told us, listen to me. Listen to what I say. And how does he reveal his word or what he wants to say? But through his prophets, through his teachers, through those in whom he has put in authoritative position. That's what we're supposed to do. We have to be obedient. And one of the things that we have to do is put in work to be disobedient. It's easy. But we have to put in work to be righteous. We have to check ourselves out first before we start trying to correct someone else. You know, I'm an individual. Yeah, I work in various, well, I'm in the security business. And in the security, I have to deal with people who don't want to follow the rules. But at the same time, I have to follow the rules also. Because those same people that I'm telling to follow the rules are looking at me. And if I don't follow the rules, what makes me think that they're going to follow the rules? if I don't follow the rules, but not, you know, I don't put forth an effort not to follow the rules. But if I don't follow the rules, they will follow the rules. Why? Because I've been put in that position to encourage them to strongly suggest that they follow the rules. But if I can cause someone to follow the rules because I'm following the rules, then that's all the better. And see, and that's what Yahushua did. He followed the rules. He left the example for us to follow, so we have no excuse. And then what he did, he chose men to follow the rules. And some of the men that he issues, because we all have issues, but what did he do? He had them to write it down so that we can learn from their situations, so that we won't make the same mistakes that they made. And if we do make the same mistakes that they made, then we can see how they got through them to prevent us from making that mistake again. You know, so is there any questions? Any concerns? Unplug your mic.
Why do we celebrate Sukkot?
The question was, why do we celebrate Sukkot? Why do we celebrate Sukkot? Well, Sukkot is one of those, I'm going to give you the simple answer, because I'm the simple guy, because Yahweh said so. And Leviticus chapter 20, the exact verse, I can't tell you, but I can find it. But that's the simple reason. But over the years, because I have been keeping this feast and celebration of Feast of Booths, this is my understanding of it. To me, this feast is the last gathering before we have an opportunity to meet the Father. This is the last weeding out before we meet the Father. And so, you know, when we go through the narrative, there was a time when Israel didn't keep this feast. Then all of a sudden, it was discovered that we had to keep this feast. I think it was in, Nehemiah, I think it was Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. It was brought to my attention. It's Nehemiah chapter 8 when they started keeping Sukkot. You know, so they had been out of captivity. They had been out of Egypt for a number of years. They had been out of captivity. And then the king came across the manuscript, or came across the Torah, and read that they were supposed to keep Sukkot. As a result, they started keeping it from that point on. Does anyone have anything to add?
Oh, the passage is Leviticus 23, starting at verse 33.
All right, so if you want to read about the Feast of Sukkot, it's Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33, and it ends the chapter. And that talks about Feast of Sukkot. And then in Nehemiah chapter 8, it talks about how they reestablished of keeping Sukkot. So does anyone else have any? What does Sukkot mean to you?
In Nehemiah is chapter 8, starting at verse 14.
And Nehemiah is chapter 8, starting at verse 14. If anyone wants to read it. Fella, did I give you a brief answer? Okay, cool. Don't forget to check into it. Look into those scriptures there, young fella. And next year, should you ask that question, I'll be able to give you a better answer. Any other questions? Are there any questions out there in what's it in what we say? Out there in the universe, out there in the airwaves. Anybody that's out there listening? Just unmute your phone and pose a question. All questions don't necessarily have to be about suit codes because this is the Sabbath day. Sabbath day is a day of learning about the Torah, learning about His Word, cool God. So things, you know, I mean, I deal, you know, a lot of times I deal with like practical life. You know, just like I said, you know, in the introduction, I mean, I had some struggles throughout the course of this week, basically trying to wondering when I'm going to present. You know, and then the father, you know, say, hey, look, that's where the whole intellectualism came into play. You know, because at one time, you know, I thought I was intelligent. But when it comes to this word, I'm just as dumb as I'm dumb. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know. Because the scriptures tell me that my righteousness is like a filthy rag. Tell me that my knowledge is dung. You know, so... You know, so I had to sit back and see what he wanted me to talk about, told me to do. He told me to open it up to the floor. You know, one of the things that we talked about the past couple of weeks, you know, dealing with it from a practical perspective, it is being selfish, you know, is listening to his word, you know, like we talked about Jonah. He told Jonah something to do. And Jonah chose out of his own mind that I'm not going to do it. He ended up doing it in the end. But, you know, sometimes that's what happens to us as individuals. You know, regardless of how righteous we might feel we are, when someone tells us that's in an authoritative position to do something, we reject it and don't want to do it. Question over here. All right, Sister Ella Shaver, pose your question. Pose your statement.
Shabbat shalom. Sorry. I'll step away from the speaker.
Okay, we got the message.
Okay, if you got the message, you can read the message. Be respected.
No, I'm saying we got the message, you know, you said Shabbat Shalom, and he said Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom,
okay.
Shabbat Shalom. Make a little,
okay.
You know, this is...
So the question which was posed is how do you keep Sukkot in modern times if not able to do as how best Yahweh is doing or how others are doing? And this is for people, Baltimore and abroad, of how do they keep it? You know, New York City, how do you keep it if you're in an apartment or in a room and don't have the means to be out camping for Sukkot and so forth?
Well, I'm gonna just bring up our humble, you know, I'm going to say my humble beginning. I mean, before, you know, and my first, you know, Sukkot, I mean, I didn't build anything. I didn't build anything, but one of the things I used to do, our rabbi used to build the Sukkot. And we went out to his home, and we used to have a meal in it. That's what I used to do, you know. So eventually, I started building a Sukkot or a booth in my backyard when I eventually purchased a house. No, I mean, let me step back. First, you know, I was going to the rabbi's house and doing a, you know, eating a meal inside his booth. And then later on, we had in the faith or in our camp that had a home. And so what we ended up doing, we started building, and they used to have bamboo in their backyard. They had bamboo. So one year, you know, we cut the bamboo down and we made a booth. You know, we took the branches, put them across the top. You know, we decorated it. So for a couple of years when they stayed at that particular house, you know, we kept booths that way. Then when they moved, And I think by that time I had moved into a home. Then they moved, and then eventually I started building a booth in the back, in my backyard. You know, and it was just symbolized, you know, the separate that I did then. I used to do the same thing. I used to just go in the back, you know, in my yard, in my booth. Me and my wife, we used to eat, say some prayers in there. And then eventually, you know, we as a group decided that we was going to leave our home, because one of the things that the scriptures talks about is leaving your home. So we decided we were going to start camping. Okay.
Before you give the follow-up,
go ahead.
I wanted to read a passage from Nehemiah in regard to that question that was asked. This is coming from chapter 8 and verse 16. So the people went forth and brought and made themselves booths, everyone upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of Elohim, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. So for those who may not be able to come out to the campground, at the very least, you want to put something up, as Moray was just saying, at your own home. You can put something out in your yard, as we used to do, and just make sure that you go out and have a meal in it each day. Or you can actually set up a tent in your yard, and you can do it that way. For people who live in apartment buildings, I don't know if they have access to a roof. That's a possibility. But if not, you can at least set something up that's similar to a tent in your house, and you can do it that way. At least you're making an effort to keep this command. Okay, so I'll turn it back over to Maureen.
So did that answer your first question?
Yeah, oh, Shalom, I'm sorry. I was trying to move away from the microphone, from the speaker.
So did that,
so that I don't echo. No, it, absolutely, because the concern was for those who are, like, renting an apartment or a room in New York City. They don't have a yard. They don't know anyone with a yard. They don't have access to the roof. How would they observe keeping Sukkot in that constrained situation? That's what I was trying to help out with. And yes, what Rabbi shared in the scripture and the elaboration was very good and helpful and appreciative. Toda Rabbah.
Okay. So, you know, like you were saying, you know, if they have, you know, if they're in an apartment that has a balcony, then they could create, they can put a booth out there on the balcony. If they reside in a place that doesn't have that and they don't have the means to create a Sukkot, then they can do, like, you know, like I said, now humble beginnings. You could go somewhere that has a Sukkot or have a booth and do prayers and have a meal in it. You know, that's, but now, you know, coming to a, you know, another perspective, you know, you can also, as they say, pray about it, and the Father will allow you or put you in a position where you can observe it in that manner. But you have to put in work. You have to put in that prayer. You have to have a sincere heart to want to keep Sukkot. And the Father will acknowledge your prayer and help you out. And that's for those individuals that, you know, that doesn't have the means at this particular time. Because, as we say, prayer works, and he hears the prayers of the saints. Person is sincere in wanting to observe and keep the feast in the manner in which he say do it, then he's going to afford them the opportunity to do so. You know, we can't use certain situations as a reason to not do certain things, especially if we want to do them with a sincere heart. You know, and one of the things that we have to also understand is our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, Yahushua. You know, he understands that we have shortcomings. He understands that certain situations comes about. However, just like I'm going to use myself as an example, stages of my early walk. One of my, you know, in my early walk, I was trying to keep the Shabbat. I wanted to be off on the Shabbat. And as we know, the Shabbat comes more often than Sukkot. The Shabbat comes 4 times a month. And I wanted to be off. I got in trouble and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because I wanted the Shabbat off. But, you know, but I started praying. I started praying and I started praying. And eventually, I was off on the Shabbat. I was off. Question. Open your mic up and ask your question.
How that happened, though.
They raised name. Oh, just getting back. Like I said, just getting back to those individuals that's in situations that want to keep the feast. You know, you put forth effort to keep the feast in the simplest possible way. But at the same time, you have to pray with a sincere heart, and that vehicle or that door will be opened for you. You know, sometimes we as individuals, we try to make different excuses for why we don't do certain things. And we allow our cert to prevent us from doing things. But like we said, one of the things that we constantly see in the scriptures, prayer. So does that answer your question in regards to the person that's being, you know, not having a balcony and living in an apartment and not having the resources to put up their own sukkot? See, that's one of the things about community. When you have a community, you can always go to your neighbor and partake in their sukkot, in their booth. An interesting movie that we watched years ago was Ustazin. And I believe that was around this particular season. And what did they do? They allowed strangers to be partake in their sukkot. You know, they was thieves and whatnot, but at the end, they allowed strangers to partake of their, you know, in their booth with them. So why? Because it was a family. It was a community. So we have to do things as a community sometimes. You know, everything is not strictly individual. You know, like one of the things that, you know, we're doing out here, we're functioning as a community. We're functioning as a family. Many times Israel calls themselves friends and family community, but yet they don't do things as friends, family, and community. And that goes back to a couple of lessons ago when dealing with people's levels of selfishness and pride. So does that kind of answer your question? Are you still there? Any other question?
Yeah, I got it. Brother Panik has a question. Will the feast be kept on the 8th day?
The 8th day is his own separate celebration. We supposed to, you know, the Feast of Booths is kept for 7 days, and then the 8th day is its own separate celebration.
See, he's asking in the context of 7,000 years, and will we enter to the 8th day after the 7,000 years? I think he's asking in that context.
Oh, well, my understanding, when we get into that, after that 7th day is over, in the process of the weeding out and getting people right, we're going to enter into that 8th day. And when that 8th day is, it's ultimately a new beginning when you look at it from that perspective. It's a new beginning, and that new beginning is going to be with the Father. And because we are united with the Father, That's it, because that's the end goal. The end goal is to meet the Father. And when we meet, we are one with him. And then ultimately we're going into eternity. And that's all those who have been written in the book of life. From the first human up until the last one. Does anyone have anything to add?
Yeah, shalom family. That's the turkey back on what the Mouray said in regard to the eighth day. One of the things that the Messiah said is that until heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the Torah. But when he said that, it's with the understanding that the heavens and earth as we know them today will come to an end. Because we learn in Isaiah as well as in Revelation that there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And once we enter into the new heavens and the new earth, the Torah as we know and obey it now will no longer be observed. When you think about time, time exists for humanity. It doesn't exist for the angelic beings. Once we become like the Most High and this mortality put on immortality, we won't be bound by time, which is why Revelation also teaches that there will be no need of a sun or the moon. Sun and the moon being the luminaries the Creator made. So in regard to the eighth day after the seventh millennium, no, we won't be keeping the feast days as we keep them now. And as the Mouray said, it will be a new beginning, and everything is still a mystery to us in regard to what's going to take place in the kingdom of the heavens.
So, brother, does that answer your question?
He's just second day, brother.
Oh, okay. Are there any other questions?
Say yes, so that.
Shalom, that's good. Cool. Well, there's no more questions. I'm gonna, wait a minute, I left my paper. Well, I'm going to end this session of Can It Be That Simple? Huh? Oh, cool, yeah. Thank you, Dan. I want to end with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Allowing us to come together on this Sabbath day, giving us an opportunity to discuss your feast. Hopefully the answers were given, gave a little more clarity to people's understanding of Sukkot or the Feast of Ingathering, Feast of Booth. But ultimately, everyone will stand firm in Yah's word, stand firm in the testimony of his son, Yahushua, for as we continue in his word, we will gain more and more understanding of what we're supposed to do as his children. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with peace. May you all have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbat. May you continue to enjoy this feast of ingathering. May the Father continue to open your heart, open your mind to the wonders of his word, to the wonders of his truth, pull you closer to him through his son, Yahushua. May you all have a peaceful and restful slumber. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom.
Yeah, I don't just want to hang up.
The burdens that I've carried.